Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Grant Malloy Smith is joining us on this episode of the Sounds of Christmas podcast. Hi, Grant. Thanks for coming on today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Turnabout's fair play. It's my pleasure also. For those who don't know or don't remember, Grant is a Billboard Top 10 recording artist, Music Row country breakout charting songwriter of American roots music. And I want to pause right there. And for anybody who's listening who doesn't know, can you sort of explain what American roots music is, or at least what it means to you?
Sure. It's actually kind of we jokingly call it the island of misfit toys, because it's any kind of music that isn't exactly country, but kind of like country. It's not exactly folk music, but kind of like that. It's not exactly bluegrass, but it's a little bit like that. It's an American form that's somewhere in the middle among that all three of those things. It's kind of, every artist does a little bit differently. Some are very country sounding, while others are more folk sounding, you know, so there's really no clear definition. If you don't fit into one of those three main, you know, real genres, I would call them, or very well-defined genres, then you're probably an American roots artist. It's also called Americana. But Americana refers to a lot of other things too. So I usually use the term American roots.
You know, it's something that I bring up often when I'm talking to artists, is that the music industry likes to put everybody in a box of what music that you do, and that's it. And if you come out of that box, they're not happy about it. But we all like so many different kinds of music. Whether you're an artist or whether you're just a fan, there's no way that you only listen to one kind of music. You just don't.
Right.
And expecting that somebody is going to be country, period, whatever that means, because there's new country and there's classic country and there's lots of those kind of things too. Mm-hmm. But you don't just listen to country. You don't just listen to folk. You don't just listen to Americana or roots or classic rock or rap or whatever. And lots of different genres are also at the heart of the new Christmas album. And we're going to get to that. You have two or three American Stories albums already.
There are two now, and I'm working on a third one.
Okay. Appalachia is the latest, has great reviews from Americana Highways, Music Row Magazine, Bluegrass Today, just to name a few. Dust Bowl, the previous album, was on the Billboard charts for 17 weeks, 11 of those weeks in the top 10. Wow. That's amazing. And was Dust Bowl, was that your first album, or was that?
No, it was not. It was my first theme album, you know, and the first one that called, you know, with the subtitle American Stories. And even at the beginning, I didn't intend to make more of them, but the reaction to it was so good that I said, I like doing it. It wasn't just that the reaction was good. It was that I really enjoyed playing the album for people. I enjoyed the reaction that I got from people. Because the first one was about the Dust Bowl, and I played it in places all up and down where the Dust Bowl really happened, you know, from Texas all the way up to the Missouri, for example. It even went farther than that, but that was kind of the epicenter, was around Oklahoma. And I played it for people, and they would say, they'd come to me crying. You know, my grandmother went through the Dust Bowl, and she told me stories that you reminded me of in some of your songs. And I just thought it was such a cool thing to capture history in a way. I mean, it's not a historical record, and it's not meant to be a documentary or anything. It's meant to be fun songs, you know, that you want to listen to, but they just all happen to be set in that world. And I like doing that so much. I did it again, you know, with the Appalachia record that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing another one now, set on the Mississippi River, up and down the whole thing from the headwaters in Minnesota all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. And I'm in the middle of that now. It's going to take me at least another year, maybe two, to get it done, because I do so much reading and research.
it sounds like the whole American Stories concept sounds like a thing that Johnny Cash would have been all over.
I think it would have been, yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely, and I don't say that so anybody who thinks, well, I like Johnny Cash, this is probably going to sound like the same thing, because it's not. But Johnny was sort of also all over the map too. So, but it just, the theme of it certainly, especially the last albums of his life, were American songs, and I think this would have been something that you know, I mean, he would have been close to 100 by now if he was still with us, but I think maybe over. I'm not sure. I'll have to check on that. But anyhow, you also, a few years ago, made your debut at Carnegie Hall, which is another thing that it's hard to say anything except, wow, that's pretty cool. Because I know there are artists that's like a bucket list kind of thing to do Carnegie Hall. And you hadn't had a lot of music out by then. How did you get there? And what was that like?
It was great. I mean, we did it again in April this year, so I've played it twice now. The first time at the end of 2018, I did it with two friends of mine who are musicians. One of them has won Grammys and so on, and another one is a musical theater person. And we put together a show combining the three of us, and it was a big success. We had a sellout, and we had a lot of fun. It is kind of daunting, you know, to play it like that. It really is. But once the show starts, it's like anything else. It's like lighting a firework. Once you light it, you got to go. You got to go for the ride. So it was fun. I would be happy to do it again. The second time was even better because I knew what to expect and everything.
Yeah, there's got to be something like, you know, whether you believe in ghosts or not, there's got to be, you feel that presence of all the history of the many who have come before you, who have played there. And that's probably true on a lot of stages across the country, but Carnegie Hall is kind of legendary, and that's got to be, like you said, daunting. That's
definitely. <yeah. laughs>
The new album's called The Christmas Heart, and we really are going to talk about that in a sec, but I had two other things that I wanted to mention. You're involved with the National Veterans Foundation. Your song Man of Steel was adopted as their official theme song. How did that happen?
I had a publicist. In fact, I still work with him, but I don't know why I said I had a publicist. I still have a publicist who I wrote this song. I actually met a veteran at an airport one day, and we were on the same plane, but it got delayed and delayed and delayed. And we sat there talking for many hours together. And he had an artificial leg, and he had lost a leg over in the Middle East. And I think it was Afghanistan. And I started, you know, we talked about that finally. I wouldn't bring that up having just met someone, but we were there for like 5 hours. We really got into it. And I was just so taken by his positive spirit, you know, being such a young guy and having lost a leg like that. And he wasn't torn up about it, you know, emotionally. He wasn't bitter. He was optimistic and looking forward to the rest of his life because he had been in the military. He was going to be able to go to college. He'd be the first person in his family that would ever had gone to college. And he was planning to get married. And it's like, wow, this guy really is so positive. You know, I wish everybody was. I wish I was like that. And I wish everybody was like that. The world would be a better place. And about a week later, I just wrote the song. It was kind of about him, really, but not just him, but all the people that, you know, serve, that go over and sacrifice themselves. You know, they're willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice, you know, to protect their country. And my publicist heard the song and he said, you know, you really should try to get this in front of Wounded Warriors, you know, one of them. And he proposed it to a few of those organizations, and the NVF are the ones who really loved it. And I had made a video too, which they saw, and they were like, wow, this is exactly what we stand for, you know, supporting our soldiers when they come back and they need our help. They were NVF was the first organization back in the 80s that coined were responsible for figuring out what PTSD was and even giving it a name. Didn't really have a name, you know, until maybe 40 years ago. They just said, well, he came back and he's all messed up now and he's got the 1,000-yard stare. And there was no diagnosis of what that really was, as there is today. So I'm proud that they like it and they have it on their website. And I know lots of people have seen it and veterans have seen it and they appreciate it.
And another organization that you're connected to is Masterpiece Living. I know you're not a spokesperson for them, but can you explain who they are, what they do?
Yeah, they're a company that is involved in all aspects of helping seniors And I guess I'm getting into that range myself now. But people who are you know, retired and they're on a fixed income and that kind of thing, and how to live better, you know, how to age better and not, you know, because there's a lot of challenges, of course, when you get old, especially when people around you start dying, you know, and you get to be alone after a while. So they're deeply involved in that. They have many senior kind of living places that they sponsor, and they're very much into taking care of people and mental health for our elders and just doing everything they can possibly do to help people age better. And I wrote a song about that too. That's how I got connected to them. I was at a shopping mall in Texas. A lot of times when I travel, I go to a mall because they have a food court where you can choose what you want to have, you know, it's like a little bit of everything. So I was sitting there and there was a table next to me filled with people who were really, they were like 90. I think one of them had been in Korea, you know, the Korean War in the 1950s. And there was a lady sitting close to me that I could hear her. I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but it was kind of hard not to hear them. They're so close to me. And she said, you know, when I walk down the street, it seems to me like younger people don't even see me. They look right through me like I'm not even there because I'm old. They just look right through me. And that really stuck with me.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that has to be a song someday. That has to be a song. And it turned out to be one. So it's called I See You, actually. Not I See You like the intensive care unit, but like I see you with my eyes.
Yeah, SEE. Yeah, wow, that's very, very powerful. And two organizations that I support as well. And I, you know, kudos to you for getting involved and giving them a little more exposure, because I think that really helps. And, you know, we're all connected on so many things now, social media and everything, that especially for the masterpiece living idea that, you know, we're all getting older and people around us are passing on. And you see that every day you scroll through Facebook and somebody, you know, people you're connected to lost a friend, lost a parent, lost somebody. Mm-hmm. And as you get older, that happens more and more. And I say Facebook because I know that, you know, I don't want to be get off my lawn kind of guy, but the younger adults today don't gravitate to Facebook like the rest of us do. Right. They're doing their own thing. So even just by the nature of mentioning Facebook, it is, you know, it's one of those things that, oh, you're on Facebook. Okay. So that puts you in a certain box. So at this point, maybe you think you've got an idea on just who Grant Malloy Smith is, but The Christmas Heart is the new album and it's not your first Christmas release. You did a single a few years ago, Fly Possum Fly. What's the story behind that?
It's slightly less serious than this record. It was really a children's song that I wrote. And like 5 years ago, I wrote it. The idea was I was doing a radio show in East Tennessee, the Tim White Bluegrass Hour. He recorded my interview with him in his home radio studio that he has in his house. And I noticed he had possums everywhere. There were like pictures of possums. There were little stuffed, not real ones, but well, he did have one real one that had been taxidermed. Everything to do with possums. And I said, Tim, what is your exact fascination with possums? And he said, I don't know. I just love them. I think they're cute and ornery and they're good for the environment. You know, they don't carry rabies. They don't, you know, they eat ticks and bugs and that kind of stuff. They do good things. So I thought, I just want to write a song for Tim about possums. And it was almost Christmas time. So I wrote this song just, and I did it as a bluegrass number just for him. So he could play it on a show around Christmas time. And that reminds me, I got to remind him to play it again this year. Now every year he plays it. But eventually it got made into a children's book. So I did a bunch of book shows and I've gone around to children's hospitals and, you know, sang the song and given them copies of the book and that kind of thing around this time of year. I haven't done it since COVID because they didn't let people into the hospitals anymore to do that kind of stuff. But I'm sure that'll come back again.
And there was a follow-up, and I've practiced saying this several times this afternoon.
Yeah, you gotta work at it.
Possibilities are endless.
Yeah, it was definitely a follow-up to that one. Also a book, and meant to show kids, you know, that they can be whatever they want to be if they set their mind to it and if they have the talent to do it. And I showed possums doing all kinds of different jobs, just funny pictures of possums, you know, being an architect or race car driver.
Any more possum books or ideas for that in the works, or do you think you've said what you wanted to say about them?
I think the possum might have run its course, but who knows? Maybe I'll get inspired again with another. I'd have to have the right idea, though. It'd have to be something worth doing. But it was fun to do and fun to be part of, you know, children's books and going to book shows and book signings and all that. That was kind of a new and something I never thought I would do. So I did enjoy it quite a bit. And I still do it once in a while because the Christmas one comes around every year. So that's fun.
And speaking of books, and this isn't a possum book, but you also have a book connected to the Appalachia album, kind of a companion to the album. No possums in there. This is more serious. Are there other books planned for the other American Stories albums? Or
yes, for sure. I'm going to do one for the Mississippi record. Definitely. Yeah, maybe even a bigger book. That one was, the Appalachia one was 40 pages. The book is quite big, though. It's 11 by 11. It's meant to go inside the vinyl record. And it does. I made a box set for the Appalachia record. And that book is definitely an integral part of it. It's sort of like liner notes, but way beyond liner notes, because it goes into each song and then how it fits into Appalachia, to the culture or the history or both in some cases.
And people can get that and the possum books and the music we've talked about, the music we're going to talk about, all at your website, grant-malloy-smith.com. And right. Malloy is M-A-L-O-Y, if you didn't notice on the name of this podcast, and maybe you're not looking at it, but anyhow, but that's how you find that. All right, let's talk about the Christmas heart. Now, as we were talking about all the different kinds of genres of music that you've performed in and that people like in general, there's a lot of different styles on this. There's gospel and jazz. I think there's some, is it Caribbean?
Yeah, the last one's very much Caribbean influenced. Just for fun.
Was this kind of a goal to do lots of different styles, or did they just fit the songs? Or is this something that is in the back of your head to sort of think about as a new style for probably not the Mississippi album, but for something in the future? Or maybe it's all of that.
I liked, because of the 10 songs, 8 of them are traditional ones. They're, you know, songs that are quite old. They're in the public domain, like, you know, O Holy Night or Joy to the World. These songs are all from the 1800s, a few of them from the early 1900s. And we've heard them 1,000 times. You know, sure. You've heard Silent Night a million times. You've heard, you know, O Holy Night or The First Noel, you know, 1 trillion times. I thought, if I'm going to do this, I have to do something different. I can't just do it the same way. I've heard it a million times. I want to recognize the song. I don't want to make it so different that people go, why am I listening to this? It should still feel like a Christmas song. It should carry the same feeling, you know, and make you feel the same. But I wanted to express them differently than I've ever heard anybody do them before. So some are kind of gospel-y. Some are in my rootsy style. A couple of them are very jazz-like. But I don't know. I took off all of my filters and I just said, I'm just going to do whatever I feel. Because this is not an American roots record necessarily. It's a Christmas record. And so it doesn't have to be one style. It might be easier if it were, but I didn't care. I wanted to do the songs in the most interesting way I could think to do them, in a way that if I could do it. Like, I wouldn't do them as a classical thing because that's not who I am. And, you know, I don't want to rent an orchestra for $10,000 an hour either. So I had to do it within reason, you know, with what I could afford to do. But I really enjoyed expressing, you know, so many different styles, particularly the jazz ones. Those were really challenging and a lot of fun to do.
I mentioned from time to time that just about every year now, I get in the neighborhood of 1,000 Christmas songs sent to me, wow. Whether it's email or somebody sends me a link. It's artists, it's record label people, it's people who are fans of the station say, you got to check this out, combination right. of all of that. And every year, I am amazed that I will get songs that are from artists that many people know. Mm-hmm. And you listen to it, and if you didn't know that was so-and-so's singer or band, you wouldn't, because it sounds the same. It's nothing is added to it. Nothing makes it different. There was an artist last year, and I'm not going to mention their name, but I got, and they hadn't released anything in a while, and then I got I think it was Rocking Around the Christmas Tree from them. And I was really excited. I liked this artist and I thought this was great. And I listened to it and I'm like, you know, if I didn't know that that was so-and-so, I'd have no idea. It's exactly Paint by Numbers, Brenda Lee's version, almost timed out to the second, exactly the same. And there's no there. There's no, there's no heart in it. It's like it was, you know, hey, do this. You've got the studio for another 5 minutes. Do this. And, you know, when I pick up, you know, when I go to the Christmas Heart and I look at it, and as you mentioned, 8 of the 10 songs, you know, by sight, you've heard these, but they're not, it's not the same thing. One of my favorites is I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And we've all heard that. Frank Sinatra did an amazing version of that. Yeah. And lots of other people have done their versions of Frank's version. And I don't know that he was the first. I mean, it's a 150-year-old song.
Yeah. I think Pearl Ives did a pretty famous version in the 50s or early 60s. I don't know whether he was before Frank or not.
But a lot of them sound pretty much the same, but you really made this your own.
And I literally did because I wrote parts of the song that were never there before. The song just has a verse and it has different words that go with the verse. And you play the verse like 4 or 5 times. It's the old style of Christmas songs where you have a verse and the chorus is kind of built into it. And then it's the just different words. And it's the same exact melody over and over and over again. And that's just kind of, that's kind of boring by today's standards. You know, we're used to having a separate verse and a chorus and sometimes a bridge, which is like a unique part of the song that only happens usually once in a song to give it some variety, to break up the verse, chorus kind of pattern.
Right.
So I rewrote a lot of the songs to have that structure, to be more accessible to today's ears. And just to make it more interesting for me, I thought it would be just boring to sing the same verse over and over again with different words 5 times in a row. Like, what's the point? I want it to be more interesting than that, you know?
And you were talking about the jazz that you did to some of these, and you have a very jazzed up version of Silent Night, which sounds different than really what anybody's heard before.
I hope so. I did. I played it for a few people. They were like, what have you done? But it sounds, I didn't change the melody. The melody's the same. It's the chords, the harmonization behind the melody that's different. And of course, the instrumentation. I don't think I ever heard a saxophone in Silent Night before, but I think it works really nicely. And I like it. I like the feeling of it.
And your take of Oh Holy Night, if I read this right on your website, you won some awards for that.
Yes, several. But particularly, it was named the best song of the year at the Indie Music Channel Awards just a few months ago out in Hollywood. So that was cool. And the kind of the backstory, the funny backstory behind that was when I sang it, I was sitting right in this chair in my studio when I sang it back in May, and I had COVID, and my throat, kind of like it is tonight for some reason, I don't know why, I don't still have COVID, but suddenly tonight my throat's a little cloudy, and I had a very difficult time singing because of COVID. It was just this thing in my throat that I just could not clear, couldn't get rid of it. And I'd have to sing every line of the song about 10 times. And each time, you know, messed it up in some way because my voice would crack or I couldn't hit the note, or I just had so much trouble singing. But I had to get it done. You know, it had to be, it was really on a deadline at that point. I had to turn the record over very soon to the record label. And so, but I struggled through it. I sat here for like 3 hours to sing that 4-minute song, each line a million times till I finally got it right. And I got so frustrated. I was sitting here and I would like mess it up, and then I would say some bad words I'm just alone in here, you know, but I would say bad words and use all my colorful metaphors that I knew because I was getting so frustrated. And then all of a sudden I realized I'm singing a song about, you know, the birth of Jesus. I really should really change my language here and not use these words. And I said myself a little apology looking upward. And I told this story when I got the award a few months ago out in LA. I said, I asked Jesus for his forgiveness, and I guess he gave it to me because look, I got this trophy.
How did that work? How did you get an award for a song that didn't get released until just recently?
Because I submitted it before it was really released.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
That's very common. It happens with the Grammys. It happens with all the awards. I would say every single award. Many of the submissions are just before they're released.
Okay. Two originals on the Christmas Heart, On This Day and On Christmas Day. Did you just sort of get into the spirit as you were doing these and these come to you?
Yes. Well, in fact, I was part of an All Faiths holiday show last December, so almost a year ago, at Lincoln Center in New York. And I had to come up with some original songs for that. And I wrote three of them. And one of them was very specific to New York City. So I didn't put that on this record, but I wrote a third one too. But these two songs, even though the titles are similar, they're very different from each other. Musically and thematically, you know, the song On This Day is really goes out to people that are lonely during the holidays who've been, maybe they're alone, you know, they don't have anybody or, you know, in a bad place in their lives. And for those kind of, for people in that position, the holidays can be a very terrible time because everyone else is so happy and they're all together and families, you know, all that. And if you see that and you don't have that, it makes it kind of worse, you know, it makes you feel worse.
Yeah.
And I wanted to write a song to those people, you know, saying, yeah, it might be bad right now and things have happened to you, but there is hope because on this day, 2000 years ago, someone else was born that loves you. No matter who doesn't, he does. That's what that song's about. And then All on Christmas Day is sort of a very different, but nothing to do with that. But it's really just kind of like my dream, like everyone's dream that people would, you know, there's the Christmas spirit where people come together around the holidays and they don't think about, let's start a war during Christmas week, you know, that kind of thing. Let's make things better in the world. But what if you could have that all the time? You know, what if you had that Christmas spirit and it just didn't leave, it didn't end? So it's a little bit naive of a song, of course, because people are people and they're probably not going to change that much, but it's a wish. And that's what the song captures.
Yeah, I hear people every year who will say things like, well, why can't we have this sort of feeling all year long? Right. And they're also some of the first people who will complain that the Sounds of Christmas is still on in January or in May or whenever. And, you know, or that, you know, even that the new season starts up on the 1st of November. And I always tell people that I get that you may not be ready for Christmas music on a specific date, but we're here for you when you are. Right. And
no one's making you listen.
Yeah. So stop being angry about it and appreciate it when you're ready to appreciate it. And otherwise it's not bothering you.
There are things in the world to complain about, but I don't think that's one of them.
Exactly. Yes. While you were recording this album, you're still working and you were doing a tour and you have this great John Denver story about a concert you did in Slovenia. And I was, even though it has nothing to do with this record, I was hoping you'd share the story because I thought this was terrific.
Yeah. Well, at this show, I visited the venue a couple days before the show to check it out and make sure we had all the stuff we needed. And the venue owner came over to me and he said, do you know any John Denver songs? And I said, no, I don't really do cover songs. I mean, I probably know some John Denver songs because, you know, he's a great songwriter and
yeah,
written a lot of really good hit songs that everybody knows. He goes, I really need you to play, sure, what was the name of the song? Sorry, just drew a blank on the title of the song. Oh, Country Roads, Take Me Home, Country Roads. So he said, we really want you to do that song. I won't imitate the Slovenian accent anymore. And I said, well, and he was really buttonholing me, like, you got to play the song. Everyone loves it. Everybody knows it. And this part of Slovenia is it's mountainous. It's in the Julian Alps, they call them, the far eastern extension of the Alps in Europe. And it was a former mining town. It's like really like West Virginia, but in the middle of Europe, you know, central Europe. So I thought, well, okay, I really don't want to do a cover song. No matter how good the song is, I want to do my own songs. But I learned it and I saved it for the end of the show. And I said, and now my last song, I'm going to do Country Roads. And everybody went crazy. I mean, they were like going crazy. So I did the song. And they all sang with me in English. Like there was like 200 people singing the song with me. I've never had that happen before. I had maybe five because I'm doing my own songs and 200 people out of 200 don't know my songs. Maybe some of them do, but not 200. So, but I swear every man, woman and child in the whole building sang it with me. And as they hit the last note, they didn't want to stop. So one guy stood up and he started singing the song from the beginning again, but in Slovenian, in their language. And then everybody joined in. So I just played the guitar again behind them, because I can't sing it in Slovenian, that's for sure. So we did the song twice in a row, once in English, once in Slovenian, and it was something I'll never forget. That was the greatest, and I'm so glad I did that song. It was a lot of fun.
You had said when you had started work on The Christmas Heart that you were making a list of possible songs, and then you sort of whittled it down.
Yeah,
I can't help but ask that, even though you've just released this, does that sort of make you think that you'll revisit Christmas music with some of these other songs?
I might. Yeah, I might. I might do another one. And I'd have to go through the list again and find some other songs. And I'll write some more too.
Yeah, really, you had the one original that's not on this album that you had mentioned earlier.
Yep.
So I'm sure people will be very happy to get another one, not to give you more work to do. I know you've got the Mississippi album coming up. Is that what's next on your schedule?
Yes, but that's going to take a while. So I'm going to do other things in the meantime. I have several other songs that aren't part of that big theme record that I will be releasing. So I can't just go 2 or 3 years without releasing anything. So that's, the business doesn't work that way anymore. So I write lots of songs that aren't meant to go on a theme record. So if they merit, you know, getting released separately, then I'll do that. I have a couple coming up that I'll be putting out soon, but after Christmas.
Any plans for a Christmas Heart tour?
No, not this year, but I wouldn't say I might not do it next year or in a future Christmas. I think it's just too much to pull together this year, but next year, I think, and by then, I think everything will be fully opened up again. You know, we're still a little bit in the COVID days, but that's ending.
What's the best way for people to catch up with you and connect?
Usually my website's the place to go, because from there you can get to everything else that you might want to go to. So if you go to grant-malloy with one L, MALLOY-smith.com, you can look at all the records. You can order them if you want to. I've had a lot of people buy multiple copies of The Christmas Heart on my website. And they're telling me that they're giving them as Christmas gifts, which is kind of a cool thing. I've never had that happen before. I've had some people order 5 or even 6 of them on the same order. And then I sign each one and I dedicate it to whatever names you want me to. And I just did one about an hour ago. So I like doing that. It's a lot of fun. And I take them to the post office myself and make sure that you get them.
I love also, that.
You know, the links are there on the website for all the social media places you go to, or music, you know, places to find me, you know, on Apple Music or Amazon or Spotify. All those kind of things are all there too.
I always try to mention when I'm talking to a singer or musician about their Christmas music, that if you like the conversation that you just heard, and you listen to, there are samples on Grant's website, and you listen to them and you really like those, all those other services are fine. I'm not saying anything bad about him, but if you really want to support him and his music so that there can be the Christmas Heart 2 or whatever, another one, or to help get the Mississippi album out or whatever else is coming next, buy it directly from him. And it's so great that you take the time to sign it. The Possum books, by the way, are on the website too, so you can grab those as well, especially if you have kids or grandkids. But I think it's so important to support the music that you care about. So I always want to throw that in there. And Grant's website again, grant-malloy-smith.com. It'll be in the show notes for this podcast episode too, if you didn't jot that down. And I think, depending on what service you're using, you could probably just click on that and go right to his website. But don't hold me to that, because there are lots of different services you could be listening to this on. So they're not all the same. But anyhow, grant-malloy-smith.com. That's where you can find out more and you can connect and you can get all the stuff. Grant, thanks so much for spending time and talking about all this with us.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
And thank you so much for listening and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. Station is still on, of course. And in fact, we just started the new season of the Sounds of Christmas on November 1st. So anytime you need a little musical Christmas spirit, just head on over to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. You can also find our app in the Google Play Store and take the music with you wherever you go. As far as this podcast goes, we're now on over 30 podcasting sites. So if you didn't find us on your favorite today, just search for The Sounds of Christmas next time you go there, and I'm pretty sure you'll see our tree. Then you can subscribe and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, please feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.